moment. I want to just get a good look at you because, you know, once I start preaching, I'm really not looking at you and staring at you. But it's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here on this brisk winter morn. But we're excited to be in the house of the Lord. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. You can open your Bible there. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. That'll be our focus scripture to start this morning. Each week we have a focus scripture, but we're going to continue a series we began last week, and then we'll just carry on for two more Sundays in December, entitled Carols. Carols, would you say that with me? Carols. Now, we're going to look at a very favorite and special Christmas carol. I'm going to tell you the backstory of it, and then share with you biblical truths and themes from that carol that are relevant for us today. And if you missed last week, we did O Little Town of Bethlehem. That CD is available here at church, or you can go to the website and get the podcast, listen free, and download the podcast and listen to that message last week. And so for this morning, our carol for this morning is going to be Silent Night. Silent Night was written on Christmas Eve in 1818. Did you catch that? 1818, 200 years ago. In Austria, it was written by Joseph Muir and Franz Gruber. Now, there's a lot of legends and folklore surrounding the origin of this classic Christmas carol. One, including a mouse chewing its way through the bellow of an organ. But regardless of all of those different folklores and legends, the real story was told by Franz Gruber himself just before he died in 1863. Gruber was a school teacher in the village of Arnsdorf, Austria. He also served as the church organist in the nearby town of Oberdorf, Austria. And on Christmas Eve, 1818, Joseph Muir, who was the assistant priest, handed Gruber a poem that he had written and asked him to set it to music for the Christmas Day service. The church organ was not working as it was, but it wasn't because of any mouse. But the organ was not working, so Joseph Moore used his guitar, and the two men sang for the first time Silent Night while standing beside the church's nativity scene. The story might have ended there, and none of us may have ever heard of the song Silent Night. But when the organ repairman came the next day to fix the organ, his name was Carl Moorrocker, the two men were still tinkering with the song and were singing Silent Night. When the man who came to fix the organ heard it, he fell in love with it, and he took it to his village 90 miles away, where two family sibling singers, the Rainers and the Strassers, began to sing Silent Night. They went on tour throughout Europe. They even sang Silent Night in front of the Emperor of Austria and before the Tsar of Russia. And then, after touring Europe, these two singing siblings came to the United States, and in 1839, for the first time, they sang Silent Night in New York City. Since then, Silent Night has become the favorite of many who sing during this Christmas season. And Silent Night has become the most recorded song ever in history. Silent Night is so beloved that this year, in 2018, they will be celebrating in Austria the 200th birthday of this classic tune. I want you to stand, and we got to sing it together. I know some of you already hum it and sang it along with our carolers, but let's do it again. Let's sing it together, Silent Night, and let's lift our hands in worship and let the words of this powerful song resonate in our spirit as the Lord touches our life. And we're going to do it with the guitar, since the first time it was actually sung was sung with the guitar, and so we're going to do it that way as well. Voice and lift your heart. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him today. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake. Christ the Savior. Lord, I pray that as we look to your word today, that your spirit would touch each of our spirits, and that Christ, the Savior, would be born again in our hearts and lives, and that we would experience a fresh touch of your peace and strength and glory in our lives. I pray blessing over your people today and over this time together. We thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, come on, let's put our hands together and make a joy. Thank our carolers and thank the ladies for passing out the treats to you as well. You may be seated. Isn't that amazing story about Silent Night? It may have ended that one Christmas if it wasn't for the broken organ and the organ man hearing the song and taking it from there. As we look at this very classic and favorite carol of many, Silent Night, this morning we're going to look at two simple but important biblical truths and themes. We're going to look at the heavenly peace, and we're going to look at the heavenly person, and we're going to answer two important questions this morning. What is the peace of God, and how can we experience God's peace in our life? This morning, I want to begin by looking at the heavenly peace. The phrase in the last part of the first stanza of Silent Night says, sleep in heavenly peace. How many know Silent Night sounds something like a lullaby? Sleep in heavenly peace. One of the overwhelming messages of this, not only this carol, but one of the overwhelming messages of the Christmas season that heaven wanted to communicate with earth then and even to us today is the message of peace. In Luke chapter 2, that was the text that I asked you to turn to, and that's our focus scripture and our foundation scripture for this message today. And it's also part of the second verse of Silent Night. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It probably was a silent night. It probably was a quiet and typical night for the shepherds. But then the Bible says, and suddenly there came an angel, and the angel declared unto them that a child would be born in Bethlehem. And then the Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, listen to the message of the angel and the host from heaven. Listen to what heaven wants us on earth to hear. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, come on, say it with me, peace, goodwill toward all men. Come on, say peace. The overwhelming message of the angel and heaven wanted to communicate with earth was a heavenly peace. The gift of heavenly peace was the promise to a troubled world. A troubled world then and a troubled world today can experience heavenly peace through the Savior and Lord who was born that first Christmas. The words of the first stanza of Silent Night describe this heavenly peace for us. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But how many understand that if you hear those words and you think of those words, all is calm, all is bright, how many understand while it may appear that way, and you look at a nativity scene like this, and we see nativity scenes throughout our world and so forth throughout this time of the year, and you look at it, and it appears that everything is calm and everything is bright. But how many know that while that may have been the case in one sense, how many know the world that this message came to, this message of heavenly peace, was to a troubled world? As a matter of fact, I put up on the screen four verses, and I put a question mark next to all is calm and all is bright. Because in Luke 29, Mary, who the angel appeared to her and said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And she said, how's this going to happen? I don't even know a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will be upon you. And the Bible says Mary was troubled. Was all calm? Was all bright? Well, for Mary, she was troubled. In Luke 1 and 12, Zacharias, who was the husband of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who was also, the angel came and said she would give birth to John the Baptist. The Bible says that when the angel came to Zacharias, he was troubled, and he was so troubled with unbelief that he was stricken mute because of his anxiety and his stress that he felt. And then in Matthew 1 and 20, the Bible says that Joseph himself was troubled. How many know Joseph had quite a load on him? His fiancée was pregnant, and he hadn't been intimate with her. And of all things, the Holy Spirit did it. How many know that would have played on one of our soap operas and one of our reality shows today? Sure, God did it, huh, Mary? Could you imagine the stress? Could you imagine the scandal? Could you imagine? Joseph now had an instant family, and the pressure and the weight of taking care of a wife and a child that he wasn't even the father of. Joseph was troubled. And then the Bible says in Matthew 2 and verse 3, Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled because Herod was threatened a new king was going to be born. And Herod was insecure, and Herod was full of stress, thinking a king was going to replace him. Little did he understand that it was a spiritual king, that it was a king that was greater than even he was, and he would be the king of kings. But Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled. So when the song says, all is calm and all is bright, if we look a little bit deeper, how many know it was a troubled world that the message of peace came to? And isn't that good news for us today? Because if we're troubled, how many know the message of heavenly peace is for you and me today? If there are troubles on your left and troubles on your right, if you're facing the weight and the load of pressure, if you're going through something today, or if your family is surrounded and struggling with so many pressures and problems of life, listen to me, the message of heaven to earth is peace, heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. But that all is calm and all is bright, while it doesn't describe things in the natural arena, how many know it describes what can happen in the spiritual arena? How many know in the natural and on the outside things can be troubled? And how many know at the same time we can experience peace on the inside in the spiritual? Because that's what biblical peace is. Biblical peace is not the absence of conflict around us. Biblical peace is the awareness of the presence of God in us, even despite the problems. I believe that that phrase, all is calm, all is bright, does tell us what heavenly peace is. Is all about, because all is calm speaks of an inner spiritual calm about the present, despite the pressures, despite the problems. How many know today, despite the things that are going on in our world on the exterior, and despite what may be going on in your world locally, in your world personally, how many understand you can experience an inner spiritual calm? An inner spiritual calm, no matter what's going on. And then, of course, all is bright tells us that the peace of God is not only an inner calm, but it's an inner confidence. An inner confidence about the future. An inner confidence that we might not understand tomorrow. We may not know who holds tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand and who can help us with tomorrow. You see, this first stanza of Silent Night explains this heavenly peace as a spiritual calm about the present and a spiritual confidence about the future. An inner serenity that even though the problems are there, God is there. An inner confidence that even though problems and pressures will come, God knows the future and He will help us and He is for us. You see, heavenly peace does not mean we don't have conflicts in our life. Heavenly peace is not that we're not concerned about the things that are going on in our life. But heavenly peace is that we do not allow the conflicts and the concerns of life to control our life. How many know that's the difference? God never said we wouldn't have conflicts and concerns. God never said the world would be perfect and there would, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And though we may have conflicts and concerns, the Bible teaches us we can experience peace. And that heavenly peace means that those things do not have to control our life and conquer our life. But we can experience the peace of God. A heavenly peace is an inner calm that God is with us right now in the present. And a heavenly peace is an inner spiritual confidence that God is for us no matter what is going on. I love that phrase, sleep in heavenly peace. How many know sleep has become a major industry in our world today, in our society? Come on. Why? Because sleep, or the lack thereof, has become a major issue in our society, in our world. There are sleep aids, there are sleep machines, there are sleep tests, there are sleep studies. There are all types of things that are intended to give people a good night's sleep. Well, I love the fact that heaven cares about you and I laying our head on the pillow. Sleep in heavenly peace. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said this, in vain, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late eating the bread of sorrows. Now, the Bible didn't say don't get up early and don't stay up late, but the Bible was saying it's foolish to do that and worry all that time and spend all that time awake and not sleep, eating the bread of sorrows. For he, say he, he's speaking of the Savior that was born, speaking of the Lord who came. He gives his beloved sleep. Can I say to us today that perhaps the best gift some of us could receive this Christmas is a good night's sleep? Amen. Sleep in heavenly peace. Listen, there's a heavenly peace, a spiritual calm for the present, a spiritual confidence for the future that would cause us to lay our heads on the pillow and sleep. Think of Silent Night as a spiritual lullaby of God's heavenly peace. Notice with me that this heavenly peace comes from a heavenly person. Notice he gives his beloved sleep. How many understand the heavenly peace is linked to a heavenly person? How many understand you can't experience heaven's peace without heaven's person who came, gift wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, but who is the Savior and the Lord? Listen, the heavenly peace comes from a heavenly person. How many understand peace is not found in a place? Peace is not found in a promotion. Peace is not found in a pill. Peace is not found in a possession. Peace is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. How many times do we think, if this only happens, I'll have peace. If this would take place, I'll have peace. If everybody would like me, I'd have peace. If everybody would agree with me and get along with me, I'd have peace. If everything would go my way, I'd have peace. Peace is not found in anything else but in the person of Jesus Christ, because heavenly peace comes only through the Savior who was born and the Lord who was given. The heavenly person is summed up in the phrase at the end of the second and third stanza. Christ the Savior is born, and Jesus Lord at that birth. How many understand the Bible and even this beautiful carol does not leave us guessing who this heavenly person is? It's clearly identified as Christ the Savior who was born. Jesus is Lord. Edward. He alone is peace. He alone is the one who can bring peace to my life, your life, and to our world today. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, for unto us a child is born, Christ the Savior is born. And unto us a son is given, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. And the government, the weight, the pressures, the load that that is upon mankind shall be upon his shoulders. How many are glad he's got big and broad shoulders? And we don't have to carry the weight. We don't have to carry the load. We don't have to carry the burden, because he was given and his peace was given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And one of his names is the Prince of Peace. Heavenly peace is found in the heavenly person. Come on, if we're going to praise the Lord, put your hands together. Let's make a joyful noise to the Lord, because peace is found in a person. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Peace. The Prince of Peace. Jesus later on identified himself as the Prince of Peace when he said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." Aren't you glad it's not somebody else's peace? Aren't you glad it's not temporary peace? Aren't you glad it's not the peace we have for a few moments when something seems to be going right? But it's the peace of Jesus Christ himself. The same peace that when the storm was raging, he was taking a nap in the back of the boat. That's the picture of his peace that he wants us to experience, that while the winds and waves are roaring and raging, we can rest and sleep in heavenly peace. My peace, I give. Listen, peace the world can't give. I want to tell you, you can't find this peace even in a happy hour. Come on now. You're not going to find this peace anywhere else. Only can find this peace in the person of peace, the Prince of Peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to notice the phrase in the carol, Silent Night, that says, "Holy infant, so tender and mild." How many know that's the image of the person of peace, or the person of Christmas, that people often focus on? And listen, it's true. The holy child was tender and mercy and mild. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes in such a beautiful and calm way. But how many understand this morning, while everybody loves the baby Jesus? How many know if that's the only image we have of Jesus, if that's the only concept we have of the person of peace, we will not experience the peace of God in our life? How many know, yes, it was a holy child, so infant, so tender and mild, but how many understand we don't worship a baby in a manger, we worship the Savior that was born and the Lord that came. And understand this morning that peace is found in a Savior. Peace is found in the Lord. And while a lot of people at this time of the year will focus only on the cute, cuddly baby and, oh, isn't that sweet and isn't that nice? That's all wonderful. But if you want peace, he has to be Savior. If you want peace, he has to be Lord. Listen, I want to tell you something. Don't be fooled by the tender and mildness of the scene of the Nativity as people focus this Christmas on Jesus. Indeed, he is a holy child, tender in mercy. But I want you to know, but more importantly, he is Savior today. He is the Lord today. He is the King today, and he deserves to be worshiped and honored and to be praised. You see, you can't have peace without him being your personal Savior. You see, peace comes from a person, and it comes by the fact that you have a personal relationship. Would you? Christ the Savior is born. And it can't be just a generic idea. Yeah, I know Christmas is about Jesus being born. It needs to be personal. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus in order to experience Jesus' peace. When we invite him into our life, how many know that's when we invite his peace into our life? In order to experience the peace of God, we need to have a personal relationship with the Savior. But if we're also going to experience the peace of God, how many understand we can't only just know him as a Savior and have a personal relationship, but we need to allow him to be the Lord of every area of our life. How many know it's one thing to invite someone into your life as a guest, and it's another thing to invite him in as the Lord? Come on, if I invite you into my home for Christmas, guess what? You only get to come into certain parts of my house. You don't get to see my junk drawer. You don't get to see my closets that are a mess. You don't get to see the basement, oh Lord. We rope those areas off. Why? Because you're just coming as we invite you as a guest. But how many know if we invited you in to come and take over and redo the whole house, how many know you got to see all the parts, all the places? And listen, why a lot of people don't have peace and don't experience the peace of God in their life is because they may have invited Jesus Christ to be their Savior and invited him in, but he's only a guest. He's only there for Sundays and Wednesdays, or he's only there for Christmas and Easter. He's only there for the little tiny baby and all there for baby Jesus. And he's only there for emergencies when we need to pray and we need to get out of a jam. Oh, come on. But if you really want to experience peace, you got to turn the keys over to him and say, you're the Lord of all. Because Christ the Savior is not only born, but Jesus is Lord at birth. Peace comes through knowing Jesus. Peace comes through trusting Jesus. Peace comes through obeying Jesus. You see, peace is not just I invited Jesus into my heart and I get to go to heaven one day. That's part of it, and that's the first aspect. A Savior was born. But you got to understand, if we want to live every day in the peace of God, if we want to live every day in the strength and the serenity and the security of God's heavenly peace, how many know he has to be Lord over area of our life, and we have to commit our lives to him, and we have to trust him, and we need to obey the principles of his word and say, Jesus, you are Lord of every area of my life. You don't just get my sins and my faults. I mean, everybody likes to give up their faults and their sins. The Savior, and he'll forgive us. But guess what? He demands more. And if we want peace, it requires more. He needs to not just be the Savior, he needs to be the Lord. He needs to be the one we check with before we do anything with our life. He's the one that he needs to sign off on our agendas. He needs to sign off on our relationships. He needs to sign off on our finances. He needs to sign off on every area of our life. By making him the Lord and by trusting him, we have peace. Because how many know if we choose to do it ourselves and we choose to carry the load, how many know we will be stressed? But the Lord, if we put that on him, the weight on his shoulders, if we put that on him as the Lord, how many understand it's there that we find peace? Why? Because I can lay my head on the pillow and the Lord can stay up all night and worry about it. I can lay my head on the pillow and it's the Lord's problem. You know how many times I walk around this church and say, Lord, this is your house. You have to take care of it. These are your people. I can only do so much. They're yours. I commit them to you. I'm going to sleep. You have to watch over them. And you have to take care of them. You see, as long as we assume the control, guess what? We have to take the pressure. But if we will release those cares, if we'll release control and allow him, listen to what Jesus said. Listen to how important this dual relationship, this dual aspect of Savior and Lord and the different aspects of peace. Look at what Jesus himself said. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, invite me into your life as Savior, and if you invite me in and say, I'll give you my peace of salvation, and you can have the peace that you're going to heaven someday. But notice this, there's another aspect. He says, but then take my yoke upon me and learn of me, trust me, obey me, turn every area of your life over to me. Take my yoke, my lordship upon you, and learn of me, and that's how you find rest and peace for your soul. You see, he gives us rest for salvation when we invite him in as the Savior. But how many know you find rest each day as we surrender to his lordship in every area of our life? Christ the Savior is born. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. The heavenly peace comes from the heavenly person. The promise of heaven for Christmas is peace. How many know this gift you and I can experience this Christmas can't be wrapped in a box and doesn't go under a tree, but it can take place in our hearts as we allow him to be Savior and Lord. What did the angels that first Christmas in Luke 2 declare? Listen to these words again. There was a host of heavenly host that joined the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. On earth, peace, goodwill to men." I want to make this important statement. You probably heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. I believe what the angels and the host were telling us, and what heaven's message was this, is that when heaven gets glory, earth gets peace. Glory to God in the highest. Notice which comes first. Glory must go to him first in the highest. And when we give him glory, notice earth receives peace. How many understand we will experience peace in our life when we give glory to him first? Then we can experience peace. What does that mean? It means when heaven, that is when the Lord Jesus Christ gets the full weight. That's what glory means, full weight. When he gets the full weight of our heart, when he gets the full weight of our life in worship, when we surrender the full weight of our heart and life to Jesus, the Lord, who is in heaven and is in our heart, when we surrender and we render up to him all of the weight and all of the pressure and all of the cares of, and we honor, lift up to him all of the weight of heaven and glory to him, how many understand? He then in turn sends peace and brings peace to our heart that surpasses all human understanding. The Apostle Paul tells us the pathway to peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Say prayer. With and supplication with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Notice that "and" transitions to what took place before. Notice that it's rejoicing and it's prayer and it's thanksgiving that leads to the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, which transcends all of the trouble around us, which transcends all of the pressures and problems of life. The peace of God that superpasses understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Lord. Say rejoice. Say prayer. Say thanksgiving. I want to tell you, those are the three ingredients. Those are the three steps. Those are three practical spiritual principles that can help us each day. Yes, when we invite Christ into our life, we have peace with God and we have the peace to go to heaven. But how many understand, if we want to experience each day the peace of God, each day we have to learn how to rejoice. Each day we have to learn how to celebrate the Lord and worship the Lord. Give heaven glory. Each day we need to pray and turn those cares over to God. Each day we need to be thankful for what we have instead of focusing on what we don't have and what we wish we had and what we used to have. But when we are joyful, when we are prayerful, and when we are thankful, how many know that's when we will be peaceful? Rejoice in the Lord. In everything with prayer. And then the Apostle Paul, just in case we didn't get it the first time, repeats it in 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 5, he says, rejoice evermore. Say rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Say pray. In everything give thanks. Say thanks. This is the will of God concerning you, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Your whole body, soul, and spirit will be full of his peace and will be preserved until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me say it again. When we are joyful, when we are prayerful, and when we are thankful, how many know we will be peaceful? Each day, we need to begin the day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Each day we need to get up and spend a few moments with the Lord before we check our emails and text messages and commit the day to Him. Instead of stressing on what we got to do, how about starting the day and saying, Lord, I pray and I commit this day to You. And then how many know each day, if we will just find and look for the new mercies and be thankful for the things that we have and all the blessings, if we're really honest, we have much more to be thankful for than we have to complain about. And if we will spend each day being thankful, how many know He will bless us with more. When we are joyful and when we are prayerful and when we are thankful, we will be peaceful. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding. The heavenly peace comes from the heavenly person, Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to close your eyes.